hey, maybe this could be the moment that things really change for me. I mean, maybe this is my year. Maybe this year I will get a ring. Maybe this year I will get a raise. Maybe this year I will stop being so mean to everybody, get my temper under control, get my attitude in check. Maybe this will be the moment. I don't think we so much expect that everything's going to change in a moment because we're much too mature for that. We've lived through too much and we know that things don't change in a moment. They happen gradually. I think what we come to church for is so we can get a sense of momentum. Momentum. Because although we know that nothing changes when the dot disappears or the calendar flips to another page, although we know that just making it to January in and of itself won't make us more like Jesus, maybe if we hit this one running, because momentum can change things. That's what the Ohio State Buckeyes were praying for that they never got tonight. They wanted a shift in momentum. Praise the Lord. And they didn't get it. And momentum can shift quick in your life. Have you noticed? You can be doing really good at something, an exercise plan. And then your ankle, you know, that bad ankle you got, twist folds up under you. Not even while you're exercising, just while you're, you know, going to the cars, just the most simple activities. And all of a sudden, you lose momentum. And when you lose momentum, the change that you initiated seems impossible to complete. Can I preach a little bit tonight? And we came not just to watch the dot disappear off the clock, but we came hoping that this night would be a shift in momentum where we get the strength to push back against everything that has held us. Which brings me to Paul and Silas, who had great ministry momentum. I mean, they were seeing things start to shift because Paul was called to the Gentiles. And you really don't get the full scope of it just reading that little part of the passage that I read to you. But trust me, Paul had some serious ministry momentum. And the council at Antioch has just agreed to send Paul and Silas out on a missionary journey, second missionary journey for Paul. And he gets to go 1,400 miles because he saw a vision. Well, he went to the place where God was calling him, which is the region of Macedonia. And he even has a helper because sometimes when you pray a prayer, God will send you the answer in the form of a person. And Paul now not only has Silas, but he has this young cat named Timothy. And Timothy is under his tutelage and his training to help him in the process of transforming or changing the world and bringing the Gentile people into the good news of Jesus Christ. And Timothy was committed. We know he was committed because Paul had to circumcise him in order not to offend the Jews. And Timothy went along with it. How many staff members do you think I would have if they had to be circumcised as grown men to be on staff? But Timothy was committed. So now Paul has a commission from the council at Antioch, and he has a partner, he has a comrade to help him take the gospel forward, and he's got momentum, and he's preaching, and he's doing good. Comes to this town called Philippi. You might have heard of it. There's a book in the Bible called Philippians. It's called the happiest book in the Bible. Well, Paul wrote that book 10 years after this moment. 10 years after he was going to the place of prayer, and they couldn't find a quorum of 10 men, which they needed to have a Jewish synagogue meeting officially, but they found a woman because God doesn't need to meet your rules in order to move. So this woman named Lydia was there, and she was a dealer in purple cloth, and she believed in God, but she didn't know about Jesus yet. And Paul said, isn't that crazy? God set this meeting up. Here you are, and here I am, and what I know is what you need. And that woman, that one woman started the church in Philippi in her house. It was exciting for Paul because now the gospel had made its way into Europe, previously had been confined to Asia. And so the momentum of the gospel is growing. And right about the time the momentum starts growing. Here comes midnight. It didn't start at midnight. Paul was going along preaching and he's making progress and he's got great momentum. And there was this woman who used to follow him around and she would contradict everything that he said. In fact, she would mock him. And he would be trying to preach and he'd be trying to move forward. He'd be trying to accomplish the mission. And this woman would start contradicting. I wonder if you have something that follows you around. Like, it might not be a person. It might be an internal voice. And Paul got so sick of it one day, he turned around, rebuked her in the name of Jesus. And she lost her ability to produce income for her masters. When the economy of Philippi was threatened by the mission that Paul represented, they put Paul and Silas in prison, but not before beating them. Now, I read you that passage up front because I don't know what kind of year you had. But hopefully when I was reading that Paul was beat and bruised with rods and sticks and thrown in prison and his feet shackled to the ground, hopefully what was going through your mind was, maybe my year hadn't been so bad after all. I mean, here they are serving God with great momentum, and here comes the counterattack. And the Bible says about midnight, Paul and Silas, now you gotta imagine this, not only is it dark, because the thing that midnight represents is darkness, and the thing that darkness represents is confusion. Have you ever been in a confused place where the best you know how, you're doing what you think God wants you to do, but you can't get any clarity on the situation? That's midnight. Have you ever been raising your children the best that you can, but all the lessons you've tried to teach them, they're not listening to because they've got some new friends? That's midnight. Have you ever been in a situation where you were surrounded by people but lonely, and you laugh while everyone is around, but when you get by yourself, you wonder, will anybody ever love me for me? Because it's not the real me that they love. It's the image that I present. That's midnight. When you're stuck in a place of frustration and nothing seems to change, I mean, forget about the fact that they're in prison. They're in prison at midnight. It's dark in there. It's dark sometimes. Not in here. In here, we got the light. We got glow sticks around our neck in here. But here's Paul. And he's already uncomfortable. I mean, midnight. Now again, your view of things changes as you mature. When I was about 8 or 9, midnight was not only exciting, but it was also scary. I mean, I think everything gets amplified in the middle of the night. My mom used to say to me, she would say, go back to sleep. I say, but mom, I'm hearing things. She said, that's nighttime noises. That's the refrigerator running. That is not a monster, but at midnight, everything sounds different. At midnight, your thoughts sound different. What didn't bother you in the daytime, you could drown it out with activity. At midnight, especially if you've been beat in your back and you roll over to your side, but they hit you there and you can't find any place to get comfortable because it's just you and your thoughts, and you're already in a strange place and you've already been through a beating, and now it's dark in a place that you don't recognize. And it wouldn't be so bad if you had been there before, but for Paul, this is a new city, a new place, a new trial. He's been through things before, but now he's in prison at midnight. Tossing and turning. Can't sleep, so he starts singing. Not just any songs. Not the stuff off the radio. Not just the catchy tunes. He's not in a position to juju on that beat, but he knows some hymns. And he starts singing at midnight. And praying at midnight. And singing hymns at midnight. And here's my question. How did he do it? How did he sing a hymn at midnight? Because remember, the lights are out and it's dark. How did he sing at midnight? Okay? How do you make it through midnight? What makes this midnight different? The Lord told me to tell you, memorize. Memorize. That's number one. There are three. They all start with the letter M. You're welcome. My name is Stephen Furtick. It is an honor to serve you. Put it down. Memorize. Well, I don't need to take notes. Yes, you do. You never remember what I say. 5 minutes after you leave here, you will forget it if you don't write it down. Somebody shout, memorize. How did he sing a hymn in the dark with no hymn book available, with no lyrics on the screen, with no worship leader, with no comfortable position to lay in, with no certainty of what the outcome would be of this trial? He had it memorized. That's the only way you can sing at midnight. If you memorize the melody in the light of day, you'll have it in your heart when midnight comes. I wish y'all would help me preach. He had it in his heart. And what I wanted to challenge you to do with this year that we're leaving and we're going into a new year, but be very careful that you remember it right. Your memory is a mess. You know that. Yeah. And I know this about my children because they'll remember stuff. They'll forget stuff. It's the craziest thing. And I thank God for my father-in-law because we went to go see them for Christmas. And my kids started telling stories. Here's how the topic was going. They were telling, what is the maddest you've ever seen your dad? Nice little Christmas conversation. And Holly told her story and her dad is sitting there and something about you scratched the car or something like that. And I was half paying attention, and here comes Elijah and Graham, and now they got a story to tell. Oh, I remember the maddest I ever saw my dad. I don't even have to think about it. It's not even close. And they start telling this stupid story, y'all, about one time when I took them on vacation, and something happened, and I lost something that was valuable to me, and I may have gotten a little bit excessively upset about the item that I, and I may have hit the wall, but it wasn't our house, it was a rental. And they start going, they got vivid memories. Oh yeah, and then he hit the wall, and then he said this, and then mommy said, come on kids, let's go outside. I mean, they got the whole thing memorized. But my father-in-law, he said to Elijah, hey, come here, son, sit on my lap. Let me tell you what I remember. He said, Elijah, I remember when you were a little baby, less than a week old. Me and your grandmother came up to help out and be there for you. And we decided to go for a walk because you cried all the time. Remember? No, you don't remember that. You remember me yelling, but you crying. And my father-in-law said, because Elijah's 11 now, he doesn't remember this. My father-in-law said, we were walking, and we got a little bit away from the house down the street, and some bugs came out. And your dad grabbed you out of the stroller, tucked you under his arm like you were a football, and ran back to the house before we could figure out what happened. That's what I remember. And then he said, I remember when you prayed and asked Jesus to come into your heart. And your dad had come home from a preaching trip, and he was tired, but he was so excited that you asked Jesus in your heart that he made a deal with you that y'all could stay up all night playing video games. And I'm sitting there nodding. If I would have had a B3 organ, I would have backed him up. And you stayed up till 3 in the morning, in the middle of the night, playing video games because your dad wanted you to have a positive association with Jesus. So he thought that video games was the best way, you know, at that stage of your development to lock it in and to put it in your memory. That's what I remember. That's what I remember. And so I'm just pointing out that maybe you need to remember this year before you leave it. I wish I was at University City. I really do. I messed up coming to Ballantyne. Y'all don't know how to party. Because when you re-remember, you think, you know what? I did go through a valley, but I didn't die there. I did have some people leave me, but God stood by my side. I remember. I was thinking, how weird it'd be if I was preaching. Just imagine this. Imagine, because Paul and Silas there in prison, it's midnight. Everybody shout midnight. And it's completely dark. Imagine if I was just preaching. This would never happen at Elevation Church. And all the lights went out in all the buildings, at all the campuses, at Elevation Church while I was preaching. Wouldn't that be the craziest thing? And your stupid glow sticks are messing up my illustration. I forgot they were giving you those. You see, if the lights went out while I was preaching, some of y'all might get nervous that Pastor Stephen can't finish his message, because how can he see his notes? But you don't have to worry about me finishing my message, because I don't need to see my notes, because I got it memorized. I got it memorized. It's in my heart. I don't have to see it with my eyes. I got it memorized. I got it memorized. See, sometimes in the middle of the night, if I have one too many Diet Cokes during the day, I might have to get up at midnight and go to the bathroom. But it's not a problem in my house. I don't trip over stuff in my house because I got the path memorized. I don't have to see my way to the bathroom from the bed. I got it memorized. You know what? I don't always have to see God's goodness in my life to believe God's goodness in my life. I got it memorized. That's how I can praise Him in the dark. That's how I can worship Him at midnight. That's how I can sing in my struggle. I got it memorized. Somebody shout, I got it memorized. I got a lot of scriptures. I have blessed the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Some of y'all need to forget your failure, forget your frustration, and remember His benefits. Forget the burden and remember the blessing. Got it memorized. Who forgives all your sins? Is anybody forgiven in the dark tonight? You did some things you're not proud of, but you're still here by the grace of God. Who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. I don't have to feel hope to have hope. I have hope in my heart. I know it by heart. They started singing hymns because they knew them by heart. And if you don't practice it during the daytime, you won't have a praise at midnight. But if you've been practicing this year, you know, I was thinking about my grandmother. And Mom, do you remember when we would go see her, and her Alzheimer's was so bad at this point, she could not remember who you were, who she was. But if you started singing, because she was a minister's wife, and if you started singing in the nursing home, she would be looking out into the blankness of the day. All of the light had left her eyes. It was midnight in her mind. But if you said, "Great is thy faithfulness, oh God, my Father," you'd hear her little voice. It was real, real thin, and it was real trembly, but she'd say, "There is no shadow of turning with thee." Thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Great is thy faith. I wonder, can you sing in the dark? Great is thy faithfulness, morning. Come on, LJ. I see. Sing it like you know it. Great. I wish you would stand up and sing in the dark. Because sometimes you got to sing it at midnight when you can't see his hand, when you can't see his plan. New mercies I see. All I hand have provided. Great is thy faithfulness. Come on, praise him at midnight. When I can't feel he's faithful, I know he's faithful. Praise him till the sun comes up. Praise him till the situation changes. Praise him till the lights come on. Praise him. Lord, unto me. Do you have a praise in your heart at midnight?
Hey, thanks for stopping by my YouTube channel. I hope you were blessed today. If you were, share this with somebody. Like and subscribe and leave me a comment. Let me know where you're watching from, what we can pray for you about. Hope to see you back here again really soon.